thank you so much, Lakes Pond Baptist Church, for your faithfulness, and thank you for the privilege of coming and presenting. I feel like a missionary over again 20 years ago. Hope you can get a card in the back. It's just one of our gospel cards. Has our whole family on here, my wife Jennifer, and one of our kids is never sick, but he's sick right now, and with a fever and things and these bugs that are going around. But Drew is with me tonight, our oldest son. Drew's a senior in high school, hoping to graduate. And our oldest is a freshman in a Bible college in a faraway land called Kentucky. And then our girls, Katie is 13 and Emma is 5. And thank God for an incredible wife and just a wonderful, wonderful family that God has been given to us. And we're just trying to carry on what Ed and Betty Schwartz has passed down to us. My mother's still living, and I know someone got her address. She'd love to hear from you. She's 84 years old. She's doing pretty well, walking around still and things, and living with my sister and her husband and kids in Indiana. But 20 years ago, we started the Harbor Light Baptist Church in Orange, Connecticut. Most of, besides here and a couple other places, most of my years growing up was Meriden. So it was the same county, but the New Haven area, we started in Orange, and we've been there ever since. About 15 years ago, to tell you how we were led to this building, there's a letter on the back, you could take them, with pictures of this building that we're seeking to purchase. And we're knocking doors and going soul winning and preaching the gospel to people. About 15 years ago, led a lady to Christ. About 3 years ago, her and her husband came in to church. We baptized them, and they joined our church. And just in November, just a couple months ago, they told me about a church they used to attend years ago, which was about 4 miles from where we are now. The church was closing. And I said, yeah, give me a number or something. Have somebody call me. We'd love to pursue this. And so real quick, like one of the men did call me, and they closed in December. They accepted our offer. Brother Townsley was with me, and they accepted our offer for $250,000 for 8,000 square foot building. It's old, but in great condition. We're going to remodel, but it's sturdy. It's strong. It's not falling apart. And right in the town center, right behind the city hall. Great location, lots and lots of parking, those things that, you know, people, you need to have. And they accept, you can't even get a house for that in West Haven. And it's really a miracle that they accepted that. And they're wanting it to remain a church. And we're looking to purchase that property in the next couple months. So please pray for us that all the details would work out. We could raise all the funds. We've already raised quite a bit already. And ministry is going to match some of that for us, which is a huge blessing. And we're just excited about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, however long God has for us. Let me just tell you, young people, especially with 20s, teens, whatever, 30s, there's nothing greater in all the world than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing on the planet, there's whatever the world tries to attract you with, just let me tell you, there's nothing greater in all the world than living for Him, walking with Him, serving Him, just fulfilling your responsibilities as a husband, wife, mom, dad, son, daughter, whatever your situation, and just serving God with what He's given to you. I promise you that. But let's turn to Judges chapter 2, if you would, please, and bring a message entitled Vertical Vision. Vertical Vision. And thank you, Brother Meter, for having me come and present this need as we're looking to purchase this property, our very own First Church building. Judges chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1 through 13, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Little g, gods of false gods. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim. They sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And notice verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them. Notice that, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bound themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this Bible study, message, whatever you want to call it, Lord, the prayer tonight, the prayer meeting. Meet those needs. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for a praying church. And Lord, we just pray that you bless this message to our hearts. May folks be encouraged. Thank you for them coming from work and school and all their duties and being in church, and be faithful and bless them for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. You notice in verse number 12, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people which were round about them. In the Christian life, the only successful way of living is by looking up, having a vertical vision, if you will, not a peripheral vision. That's when we get in trouble, don't we? When we're looking around to see what someone thinks or whatever it might be, or looking down in despair. But the successful Christian life is having a vertical vision. Let's say that together. Ready? The successful Christian life is having a vertical vision, a vertical vision. I preached a couple messages, used some stories of Peter and the disciples and Joshua, Caleb, others. I'll give a few tonight for this message about this thing of a vertical vision. How about Noah in the Bible? If anybody had a vertical vision, it was Noah, wasn't it? If anybody wasn't looking around to see what they think, or how about this problem, or just imagine that construction project, right? You built buildings on this property, right? And the construction, maybe some of you are in the business and building things. I'm pretty good at tearing things down, amen? I could tear a house down, somebody else built it up, this was a man who was an example for us to follow. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And look a little bit at Noah. Genesis chapter number 6 in your Bible. The Bible says in verse number 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And notice verse 8, "But Noah," thank God for Noah, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Then notice verse 13. "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." By the way, that whole passage, another message about those two big words in the times of Noah, corruption and violence. Is that not the state of Connecticut? Corruption and violence. And it's a sad day we're living in. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God we can keep our eyes on him and focus on what he has for us to do and shine brightly and make a difference in the lives of people, for sure. But it says there, the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth and make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Just imagine Noah. Just imagine his sons. Just imagine his wife, their sons' wives. Imagine all the work that must have gone in to building the ark. And no doubt all those years and decades of time, they must have been tempted to look around, all the people laughing, all the people mocking, and all the craziness that must have gone on as they're building this ark. And there's no rain, you know, it's impossible. It makes no sense. But they're following the Lord. Amen. And they're following Jesus Christ. That's what we did when we started Harbor Light Baptist Church. And just started. There's nobody in the area that we knew to invite to church. We were just knocking on thousands and thousands and thousands of doors. It was just my wife and I. We're honeymooning. Amen. Sometimes she would go up one driveway. She'd be putting something on the door, knocking on the door. I'd be going up the next driveway. You know, maybe if somebody came to the door, I'd run back to her, you know. And we'd tag team, and we're just going up and down the streets and just getting the gospel to people, inviting them to this church where there was no one there, literally no one. And after weeks and weeks of time, finally found some people that were interested, some people that are interested in the gospel, and the rest is history. But as you go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be opposition as you're building a family or building a business, and obviously tithing off of it, amen, that God gave you that business so that you can use it for the Lord and honoring him, help the missionaries, and you're building that business, or you're building that marriage, or training those kids for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to school, you're in college, whatever your situation might be, there's going to be opposition as was with Noah. And Noah and his family just kept on going for the Lord. They kept their eyes on Jesus. They had a vertical vision. What a great example that Noah and his family was. And look at verse 17. Verse number 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Imagine all the work to build this giant ark, this giant boat. Imagine all the work to try to get all those animals together to bring them on the ark. I mean, just can't even begin to think of how dedicated and faithful Noah and his family were. And it's because they didn't have a peripheral vision, always wondering about this or that. And boy, my faith can be wiped out with fear just time and time again, fretting, wondering, what about this, you know, and with this building? Well, what if there's more repairs to be done and we don't have the money and blah, 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 blah. You know, the fears come in, right? And what if we don't raise enough? And all these crazy fears that come in, but you cast them out with faith, trusting in the Lord, not worrying about what people think, having this vertical vision on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. It shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah and his family didn't look down or look around to draw strength from their neighbors or friends in their area. There were no other people who believed. There were no other people who obeyed God. There were no other people that were following the Lord. And thank God they did not look around them with a peripheral vision. They looked unto the Lord and that's how they did succeed. And so the big statement tonight is simply this: don't look down, don't look around, look up. Let's say that together. Ready? Don't look down, don't look around, look up. As Christians, every day we can keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Joseph in the Bible? Joseph, look at him. One more Joseph tonight. Joseph didn't look down. Joseph didn't look around. He looked up. One example, what a godly testimony that he was. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37 tonight. Verse number 3. Genesis 37. Verse number 3. Once you found that verse, let's read verse 3 and 4 out loud together. Genesis 37. Verses 3 and 4 out loud together. Ready? Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So here's Joseph. He's a young man, and his brothers hated him. Pretty much just about all of them hated him. Joseph didn't look down. Joseph didn't look around when his brothers were all against him. What did he do? Joseph looked up. He looked unto Jesus. He had this vertical vision. Joseph also didn't look down or look around when his brothers cast him into that place of death, that pit, if you will. Look at verse 24. Verse number 24 tonight. So you have bills to pay. It's easy to look down in despair, isn't it, right? I don't know about you, but maybe taxes are going up in Waterford or New London, wherever you live. I don't know what the situation is, but we're perfecting it, right? You know, where we live. And actually, they cut the mill rate in Milford, where we live. 4 years running. Isn't that great? But who knows about next year. But you're looking around at your circumstances, looking around maybe at your health situation. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe a loved one who's in the hospital right now, and it's tempting to look around you. But what God wants us to do is look up, doesn't He? Have that vertical vision and look unto Jesus and trust Him. And as the preacher's talking about, be a witness as you go in. It wasn't Danny Mansfield, was it, that called you? I don't know. No. Danny Mansfield, you know him? But him in the hospital for heart surgery. He was a mailman in Westbrook, I believe it was Westbrook, Connecticut, many years ago. And heart surgery, I think it was three or quadruple. It was a big heart surgery. And he made sure that his family had stacks of tracks there. And I believe he led, this was a year or two ago, about eight nurses, doctors of Christ in the hospital. This is as he's going through surgery. This is before, right after surgery. And you know, that shouldn't be the abnormal. Everybody needs Jesus. And as he mentioned there, the Lord's moving you. God's moving all of us, folks. He's moving all of us to witness to people everywhere we go. And by the way, if all we do is witness by ourselves, that's good. But that's not going to get the world the gospel. There's billions of them. We're going to have to go with other Christians in our church, friends, family that love the Lord. And we're going to have to go 2x2, 3x3, whatever you want to do, but go with other people. And so they can learn, if you know how to win a soul, so they can learn how to win souls. Amen? We're going to all have to be doing this, going a new lady in our church, brand new to the church, baptized her a couple months ago. And a little discipleship book that she's going through with one of our ladies in the church just started last week on this thing. And the lady was reading it and it said something about commanded to go. And she said, are we commanded to go soul winning? And she said to her, yes, you are. You're commanded. And just like anything else, you're commanded to do those things. And so she's excited about going out with us, just a brand new Christian. But as you go, there's going to be all the naysayers, right? There's going to be all that. There's going to be all the people criticizing you. for following Jesus Christ. But don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. Have that vertical vision. Amen? That vertical vision. And then we have another part of Joseph here. Verse 24. Did I read it yet? I don't think I did. Genesis chapter 37, verse 24, where the Bible says, "And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it." So here we have Joseph tempted to look down or look around when his brothers cast him into this pit. But what did he do? He looked up. Also, Joseph didn't look down or around when his brothers sold him into slavery. My, look at verse 26. Every time I go through Joseph, New Year, went through Genesis already, and I just love to slow down in these chapters because it just inspires me. One of my favorite Old Testament characters in the Bible, Joseph. And it says in verse 26, "And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" So they ended up selling him into slavery to another land, far away. That's a little bit worse than losing your job, don't you think? That's a little bit worse than my cancer surgery on my thumb, of all places, in 2010, don't you think? It's gone, thank God. No cancer there now. But this is unbelievable what's happening to this young man of God who is not running from God. He's serving God. Are you with me? And all these things are happening to him. What'd he do? He kept looking up. Thank God for his example. Look at chapter 38, verse 1 and 2. "It came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira." And look at verse 2. "And Judah saw there..." I'm on the wrong chapter somewhere. Chapter 39, verse 1. There it is. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt." Chapter 39, verse 1. "And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." I love that. The Lord was with Joseph. "And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And then verse 7, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." Joseph didn't look down. Joseph didn't look around when he was tempted morally. When he was tempted to sin. Maybe for you it's financially tempted to be dishonest. Maybe it's some other area of your life that you're tempted. Maybe it's the peer pressure. You don't hardly do anything wrong, but you're with the wrong crowd and kind of neutralizes your witness, right? And whatever it might be, that temptation. But thank God Joseph didn't look down. Joseph didn't look around. He looked up. He had a vertical vision. Amen? A vertical vision. What a testimony of God's power in this man's life. To stay holy, to stay right with the Lord. Look at chapter 39, verse 12. Same story there. Same woman there. "And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." And the same story, go down to verse 16. "And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me." And then verse 18, "And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out." Was that the truth? No, that was a lie, wasn't it? And then verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Aren't you thankful in your darkest hours of trouble and trial and temptations that as we follow him and serve him, the Lord is with us? And it says, "And showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Don't miss this one. Joseph didn't look down or look around when he was falsely accused of sin. What is Satan? He's the accuser of the brethren. And it might not be some big accusation everybody in the world knows about, but it might just be a loved one, maybe a family member in your home tonight, and there's accusing going on. Don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. Look up. Have that vertical vision. Allow God to maybe give you joy again. If I look tired, I am tired tonight because it's busy, all I'm doing. But it's not that I don't have joy in my heart. I'm just tired out a little bit. But you know, don't allow these things of life and circumstances and temptations, accusations, maybe before you got saved or maybe before you started getting right with the Lord or whatever. And the old friends, you know, they try to bring things up or whatever it might. Don't allow the accusations of this world to steal your joy, to steal your contentment, to steal maybe a family breakup or tragedy in your life and you're a single parent now or whatever you're going through. Don't allow those circumstances to destroy your joy and your gladness. Serve God with what He's given to you. He's obviously given you an incredible church here. Amen. Lakes Pond Baptist Church and all kinds of brothers and sisters that love you. Most people don't have that. And thank God for those kind of things. And thank God for the loved ones you have. And thank God for a great preacher and family. And thank God for the goodness. Thank God that you have a Bible tonight. Amen. Millions and millions never seen a Bible in their life. And just remember another guy, Jason, right? Milford Concrete or something like that. I remember. I know that guy. And just be encouraged tonight. Whatever you're going through. It probably wasn't all like Joseph, right? Maybe it was. Maybe you've gone through unbelievable trials in your life. But Joseph didn't look down. Joseph didn't look around. When he was falsely accused of sin, he looked up. What a testimony he had. One more thing about Joseph. Joseph didn't look down or look around when he was exalted in the kingdom. Blessings many times destroy a lot of believers. Blessings. Got a promotion on the job. Got a pay raise. Whatever, got this wonderful relationship. And it's their demise. Because they didn't treat the blessings properly and allow it to humble them even more to look to God and say, God, I don't deserve any job. Never mind a pay raise. Thank you, Lord. And use it for Him. But so many Christians don't. Joseph was a good example. Look at chapter 41. Genesis 41, verse 14. Genesis 41, verse 14 to 16. The Bible says, and Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then verse 38, of course, many of you know the story where God used Joseph to interpret the dreams of the king and things. And it says in verse 38 of the same chapter, Genesis 41, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And so Joseph was blessed, wasn't he? Joseph was exalted, wasn't he? Joseph was raised to basically second in command of the kingdom of Egypt. A world kingdom, world empire. And of course, later on he was used to save the Israelites, save the Jews, right, from starvation and so on and so forth. But the message is this, that during the blessing, during the exaltation, during, and then get to the part where his brothers and his family come back and he could have hurt them, right, if he wanted to. But he was good to his brothers, good to his family. and was just an incredible testimony when he was being exalted and blessed and exalted and blessed even more. He didn't look down. He didn't look around when he was exalted in the kingdom. And so let me encourage you tonight, don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. Let's say that one more time, shall we? Don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. And as we finish up the message, let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ here in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus was looking up to the Father, wasn't he? Our supreme example of vertical vision, if you will. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. So as my father, Ed Schwartz Sr., he went to be with the Lord in 1999 on my birthday of all days, and would drive that church bus for this church. It's a lot of work, isn't it? Getting up earlier, making sure the thing runs, right, and so on and so forth. And driving the bus, picking up the kids, picking up the families. What was that all about? What was Ed Schwartz all? That was vertical vision. And serving God, being a good testimony, and my mother as well. All those years, my mother, 84 years old, before she moved from where she was to another place last year, seems like forever, but last year, just a couple years, she was 82, 83 years old, and she was still visiting the bus route in her church. She couldn't ride the bus with her health situation, but she could visit the homes, knock on the doors, go with other ladies in the church, and go soul winning, sing in the choir. When she had the health to get up the stairs to sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school class, she's in her 80s. She had the health to do it. She could walk into church. She could get into church. And she's still using what life that she has left, living as an example of a vertical vision. Amen tonight. This great testimony example that my mother is to us all. But Hebrews chapter 12, we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was our ultimate example of living with this vertical vision, not looking around, not looking down, but looking up. This vertical vision that all of us should have. Would you please pray for Harbor Light Baptist Church? Would you please pray for our congregation? We probably have about 40 last Sunday in church. And just a group of folks that love the Lord. There's, of course, more than that that come. But that God would enable us to raise all the funds that we need to raise to purchase the building, to remodel the building, to make it suitable for folks to come in. And of course, down the years, there'll be more work we can do on it. But at least, as they say, better make sure the nursery's looking good, right? Or the bathrooms, right? The entry, the sanctuary, and things like that. And would you pray for us? And we've got a couple other churches that have some men in their church and ladies in the church that would like to help with different things around the building. And if you want to help us, let me know with any type of construction experience that you might have. There's one or two other churches that have volunteered to help us in that area, because we do not have the money. There's every dime coming in is to purchase the building, and then we're trying to get some to remodel. And so if you would pray for us on that, we would greatly appreciate it. And my dear wife, when you're serving the Lord, you go through trials. You go through a lot. Pastor Townsend, one even said the other day, he was at our church, and he said, "The pastor's wives, it seems like the devil is just fighting them tooth and nail, the pastor's wives." In some cases, give you an example, years ago with her health issues, she was in the bed. We homeschooled the kids. She'd have all the kids' tables around the bed. She'd be teaching them from the bed. And all different grades. On and on we can go, right? Of all the challenges that we've all faced. But what I'm saying is, would you pray for us? Would you pray for the dear folks of our church? This is the first. Some of the folks in our church have been saved long ago, but they've never been in a church. It just so happens that they've never been in a church, including ours, where they had their own church building. Some of these people are in their 50s and 60s. Some of them got saved when they're teenagers, and they got out of church or whatever, and then we knocked on their door. We heard about them needing a church, and we went by. Just imagine that. The incredible joy that's going to be in their hearts. I can't wait to see as some of these families who've been serving the Lord for decades finally get their own church home, finally get their own church building. And it's not about glitz or glamour. It's about just seeing more folks saved, having more room for folks to grow in the Lord, more ministries, more permanent location. And folks in the community, obviously, that live in that area, many. And then there's the church that closed, that couple I told you about. He's trying to find an old church directory, hallelujah, with that old church, because the church closed. And so we're just going to go after those folks and invite them. And that those folks, many of those that have been out of church or whatever, we can reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for having me tonight. And let me encourage you, no matter what you're going through, we're getting closer to the Lord's return, obviously. Whatever you're dealing with, don't look down. Don't look around. Let's say it again. Ready? Don't look down. Don't look around. Look up. Look up. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bambi, Kim, how long have you known Kim? How old were you? 29 years, so we're connected with them too. And we got some Filipinos in our church, by the way. And Kim Curry, right? She's known her a long time. And we're connected with that family as well. Thank God for Kim's mother, who was at a church for decades, came to our church for a little conference last year, and then was so excited about the guest preacher that they ended up going up there to that church. And we were sad to lose Kim, but excited that her mother is back in church. Amen. And what a blessing, what answer to prayer, that dear lady is going to church and growing in the Lord again. It's all about the big picture, isn't it, Brother Meter? It's not about Lakes Pond or Harbor Light. It's about the Great Commission, isn't it? And what a privilege to serve the Lord. And thank you, Brother Meter, for your vision. Starting a church in New London, starting a church in Willimantic. His next church is somewhere. But all the churches you helped to start, Christian school, all the different ministries, and he's a godly example to me. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I read most of my sermon. There's just nothing suave about my message.